Hello, WRSU. This is Jonathan Varghese interviewing the Smoky Brights all the way from Seattle. How are y'all doing tonight?
We are doing beautifully. It is not raining here at this very moment, so we've got big grins on our faces.
Perfect, perfect. All right, let's get started. So, Smoky Brights, tell me, how would you describe your sound?
We are definitely eclectic in what we listen to, but I feel like Smokies draws a lot from rock and roll and disco from like the late 70s and the early 80s. So where all that kind of rock and roll and danceable and new wave stuff starts to kind of sync up in that time zone. Like that's where we draw a lot of inspiration from.
We've been calling ourselves Fleetwood Psych because we definitely have a lot of influence in Fleetwood Mac and those sorts of Laurel Canyon kind of artists, because with the sort of popness and harmony and really nice, rich, warm sounds. But then, you know, we definitely have some crazy synth parts and get a little weird from time to time. So,
all right. And can we find, like, Kim, when you mention the whole weird part, where do you all think specifically you find that in, you know, the EP Come to Terms?
The weirdness comes from, well, you can answer this if you want, but I don't know, like the palette of sounds that we draw from, you'll hear a lot of like really interesting, fuzzy, strange sounding guitars and really affected synths and sounds like that. But we don't try not just rely on kind of interesting or novel sounds, even though we're really into them. We're super into songwriting and songcraft and making stuff that you just want to like sing along with. But we're also big dorks. We're like gear dorks and record dorks, and we dig in deep and have a lot of cool pedals and synths and stuff like that. And that's where some of the weird stuff starts to come in, I feel like.
Yeah.
All right, no, I get that. I definitely love singing along with you guys, especially on Blame It On Me, of course. I love that.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Thank you.
Now, to transition from that, you know, with all this weirdness that you do talk about, you know, was it like that in the start? You know, what was the start? What was your start like as the Smoky Brights, you know? Did y'all come from separate bands, or was there like a precursor band before the Smoky Brights?
We all met working at a pizza restaurant together in Seattle, and we all had different lives going on in terms of music before Smokey started. Ryan played in a brash garage sort of punk band for years, and that's what he was playing in, the Hormones, when we first met. And then two of our members were in sort of a mathy prog kind of rock band. And then one of our members was in
Mikey, our lead guitarist, had this like kind of like cool angular art punk band called What Now.
Yeah.
And like it was just like Kim and I had just started dating. We were like in our, I don't know, early 20s,
yeah,
and working at a pizza restaurant, all playing in bands, doing like house shows and DIY shows, and like yeah, I just kind of had a little batch of songs that I thought were cool, but I didn't know what to do with them. And kind of thought about all these players that were in our immediate circle and also, like, you know, serious friends, like people that could play music but were also folks that you would not mind spending a lot of time with, because that's kind of the deal with the band. So Smokies is, like, kind of like a bit of a super group in my mind, and, like, supergroup / just like recording project, you know.
When we started out, we sort of the aim was mostly just to get these songs down and demoed, and then once we did that, we actually started getting people liking them, which was
that was the unexpected part.
Yeah, it was exciting. So we were like, well, maybe we should keep this thing going and actually make this a band and do this thing more long term.
And that was like 6 or 7 years ago. And we've taken a pretty like leisurely pace, I would say, in the general development of the band. Like, 'cause everyone else, you know, we were students. You know, Kim was a student at the time. I was a student at the time, and we all had other projects. But, you know, we put out a demo, and people liked the demo, and we put out a 7-inch, people liked the 7-inch. And then a few years later, we, like, finally put out a full-length called Taste for Blood. And, you know, like, KEXP, our awesome local non-commercial radio station here in Seattle, got really behind it. And, you know, it's been a kind of steady ramp-up, and at this point, it's pretty much all of our lives.
I realize y'all recently released your new EP, Come to Terms. Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you.
Now, I got to ask, as artists, it's so important to understand, what do you want your listeners to take away after listening to the EP?
Yeah, that is a great question. We wrote all of Come to Terms in 2016, which, as we all know, was quite a remarkable year in our nation's history. and it saw a lot of divisions being formed and revealed and widened and exploited. And it's been tough for us personally, you know, having personal relationships that were strained by just the divisive politics and rhetoric that started in 2016 and continues on until now. But just the importance of communication and not letting those divisions define us.
Yeah, if we have anything we like really rail against, it's apathy in general. We're kind of firm believers that everyone is happier and healthier when we engage with each other, when we engage with, you know, your community, your democratic process, the world around you. So a lot of these songs are kind of about that. They're about rejecting any sort of apathy or cynicism and embracing, you know, truth and joy, even if they're hard truths.
Yeah.
All right. I'm really loving these like vibes that you're promoting. Seriously. You know, I do agree that, you know, in today's political climate, there seems to be like a disconnect between, you know, opposite groups. And as a result, like there isn't that, you know, agreement or compromise that we all should work towards, you know, because not everyone can get what they want. But I'm glad that like y'all were inspired to, you know, write this EP and try to promote this message of like, you know, putting aside that cynicism and that, you know, ignorance and be more actively engaged with people. The message is perfect, you know. I actually read through your bio on your website, you know, that Come to Terms, quote, it is an airing of grievances. It is not a record of despair, but instead invites the listener to snap out of it, start moving, and to rise above. So I would like to know, you know, which grievance inspired lyric number one, Blame It On Me?
You know, that one it's kind of a mix. So there was kind of unfortunate division in our friend group that happened in 2016 too. And that kind of compiled with this general feeling that all of a sudden it was okay to treat people poorly and there was no consequence for it. And so the first line is, hey, weren't we something beneath the stars? I love you more than the blood in my arms. And it's about reconciling the reality of how people actually treat each other with how you would like to see people treat each other. And
yeah.
And it's not accusatory saying like that we are perfect. Like we are fully implicated in that. And like, that's why the song is, I'll Blame It On Me. It's like, you know, maybe I got it wrong and there was some cross wires, but for what it's worth, this relationship meant something and means something to me. And you can take that as a relationship between two people that are in love or between two friends that used to share a lot of things together or between, you know, two family members that find themselves across strange widening chasm of politics that is in America right now. it's about looking at someone that you used to be able to talk to and saying, like, I still love you. We should figure this out. And if it takes me eating a little crow too.
Yeah. It's an interesting song because it focuses on, or it touches on blame almost in a way that it's supposed to make blaming isn't the point, you know, and that chorus of, you know, I blamed it on you, you blamed it on a man you never knew. Just, if we keep focusing on blame and keep trying to say who was wrong and what happened, you can't focus on, well, what are we going to do? You know, how are we going to fix this? And I think in terms of blame, in our national sense, it's important to move past that because we can't keep pointing fingers of what went wrong and why we are where we are right now. But we really, you know, got to right the ship. Otherwise, this thing is tanking.
That's the feeling.
No, it's very lovely. You know, y'all are taking a very mature approach to, or Blame It On Me takes a really, like, a mature approach. You know, at some point, you know, one, or maybe here, actually in this case, maybe one will have to be like the bigger person and say, hey, you know, like, you know, I messed up. I'm sorry. And that's, you know, it's good to hear that, you know, perspective on Blame It On Me, because I'm sure you all know very well that, like, it's really hard to, like, you know, humiliate yourself or humble yourself and say, hey, I'm wrong. You know, I didn't mean that, you know, you know, you're right, you know, but I really want to work this out. Cause at the end of the day, you know, we all have ties to each other that, you know, transcend, you know, maybe these these little politics, you know?
Exactly.
Totally.
You know, I was going to ask the next lyric, but I think I can already understand the inspiration behind it. Allow me to say it. This is not the time to turn your back on what you see. Find the strength in you and I'll find the good in me.
Yeah.
I think we probably don't need to explain that.
That
is what it's about. It's having a good faith dialogue with the people around you.
And it's a dialogue with people that you agree with, but more importantly, it's a dialogue with people you don't agree with. You know, everyone in our lives doesn't have the same ideology as we do, and that's good. It's important to talk with people and understand why they think the things they think, why they feel the things they feel. And the same is true for yourself and understanding your ideas and being able to have empathy and understand where someone's coming from.
Yeah.
Perfect. The message that Come to Terms promotes, I'm all for it. And, you know, it's just a dose of, like, ideas that we need in today's society.
Yeah. Thanks, man.
Thank you.
So, since releasing Come to Terms, you know, has your favorite song to perform live changed? What was your first one?
Ooh, that's a great question. Yeah, I mean, I think it has, in terms of my personal favorite song to perform live, it always kind of changes between, at least for those four songs on the EP, they each bring sort of a different vibe when we play them live. I really like when we play Other Way live because it's just got this real anthemic vibe to it and people just sort of automatically start getting into it. And that's what I
moving with their bodies.
Yeah. So I'm currently probably my favorite one is Other Way. When we first started playing them out, it was probably Come to Terms, just because it was one of the more brash and in-your-face songs we've ever done. So it was kind of fun. It was like I got to put on a different persona for that song.
And it's really cool seeing, you know, as a person that, like, writes songs, your relationship is one thing, but, like, a stranger's relationship with that song is something totally different. And, like, one of the crazy things about music is that you can see, as an artist, you can see that reaction happen in real time. And sometimes it's often really surprising. You know, sometimes in bad ways where you're like, wow, I thought that song was great, and everyone started looking at their phone. But other times, you play a song that, you know, maybe you were even unsure to bring it to the band in the first place, and then, you know, a couple of months later, you're playing it to a bunch of strangers in a city you've never been in, and they have no motivation to start dancing or moving, and they do. And that, all of a sudden, is the, like, it's the spark. It's like the social magic of songs, of music. It's been cool, like, playing these new ones. Yeah, like, I still feel like Come to Terms is my favorite to play live, just because I get to play, like, loud, distorted guitar and just rock out, you know?
Yeah. You know, as we are going to wrap this interview up soon, I got to ask, you know, from my personal, you know, interest, you know, what's the craziest experience you've had as a band so far?
For me, probably craziest experience was we got invited up to Vancouver, BC to open for our friends, The Head and the Heart. And it was, I didn't even, like, we had so much logistical work to make that show happen. Canada is not interested in letting you into their country if you have any sort of alcohol-related driving offense, which we had a member who had that, and so we were dealing with this whole, it was just this logistical nightmare. It was months and months of planning.
It was a 100-page binder of information,
yeah,
sent in from one of our members in order to, like, convince the Canadian government that, like, it wasn't going to come up there and, like,
you know, I don't even know what.
Get a bottle of Rich and Rare and start.
Okay. Oh, wow. You know, like.
And yeah, and so it was just all this work and kind of this slog to make it happen. And I didn't even really, it got to the point where I wasn't even thinking about the actual show anymore. I was focusing so much on getting our butts up to Vancouver and getting all of our gear with us and making that all happen. And then we walked into this 4,000-person auditorium that was completely sold out, and it was a phenomenal show. Like, it was just this crowd of, you know, there were people who had driven from all over Canada to come to this show and driven up from the United States to come to this show. And it was just this, we finished the first song, and it was just this wash of crowd love and laughter and clapping and screaming and yelling and positive. It was just,
like, we've played, like, one of the biggest clubs in town is this club called The Showbox in Seattle. And, like, we played a sold-out show there. That's, like, 1,200 people, which the noise of 1,200 people sounds like a lot. But, like,
yeah.
Was it 3,000 or 4,000? Something in that.
Yeah, it was higher.
It was just, like, a different experience. You're like, oh.
Yeah.
That is the sound of a lot of people.
So for me, that was probably the craziest experience, was, you know, focusing on the logistics to get us up to this show for months and not actually getting to focus on the fun of the show, and then having the show be the funnest, most insane show we've ever played.
I guess maybe for me, one of the craziest experiences was, like, super early on in Smokies, we played a show in Redding, California. I feel like it was maybe like 10 or 12 people. We had just started out. And, like, we stayed at this really nice dude's house. We just called out from stage, like, hey, we're a touring band. And, like, he was an incredibly, like, kind, sweet dude. He's, like, maybe a year or two younger than us. And, like, a year or two later, he showed up at a gig in Seattle. And he proceeded to tell us that, like, after that show, we weren't the only factor. There were many factors in his life, but he got really serious about his music. And he decided to, like, move to California to, like, get into the music industry. And he lived in his car for a couple weeks, a month or something like that, and was really, really just kind of doubting his scary decision. But he came to the show and he, like, told us that one of our songs was, like, the song that got him through that really tough patch, you know? Like, the song on our first demo called Every Day. Like, the line is, like, every day takes a little bit of learning how to live all over again. And, like, it's just a song about, like, kind of reinventing yourself. And, like, as someone that, you know, songs or does anything creative like that, you know, your hope is always that it's helpful. It's a thing that people not only like, but, you know, maybe need, or it helps them. That was a small thing, but like huge in terms of, you know, giving us the strength to kind of keep writing and stuff like that.
We're going to be signing off real soon. And I just want to ask, you know, any last remarks, you know, what are your future plans? What's next for the band?
Yeah. So we're hitting it. We're just firing on all cylinders right now. We put out Come to Terms,
a month ago?
Yeah, a little over a month ago, and hitting the road on Saturday for a nice tour. And then we just actually recorded another EP last week.
Oh, lovely. All right.
Yeah. So that will be coming out later this year, and just keep hitting the road. I mean, that is kind of our number one priority this year is getting out there and meeting as many new people as we possibly can, and bringing what we've got to as many new places as we possibly can.
Of course.
Yeah, and like for the only way we really exist is by word of mouth. So, you know, if anyone listening to WRSU has heard any Smokey Bright and it does connect with them, you know, tell a buddy, because that's how it's all worked, you know. It's just like good folks connecting and telling someone else, and if it connects, so, you know, just share it.
When will this EP come out? Because, you know, we at WRC would love to listen to it. Seriously.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would say fall is a realistic timeline. But, I mean, we just laid it down. We're in that crazy place where we just laid it down and our producer is mixing it. And I haven't even heard it since we recorded it. So it's...
We think it's good. Recorded it in like a whirlwind of 4 days, but yeah, I mean, as soon as we can, you know, there are things that always take a few moments on a record, you know, just literally pressing it and starting to spread the word, and, you know, getting our record label on board and all that stuff. But as soon as we can possibly get this next batch of songs to, you know, to your ears and to you guys at the station, we will, and then we're just gonna keep doing that. We're just gonna keep writing.
Perfect. You know, honestly, you guaranteed WRC will be at the forefront, ready to have our ears open to listen to your new music, you know?
Yeah.
And as we end this, please, Smokey Brights, tell us of your definite plans as of now and where you are touring, so that our audience may know and potentially come visit you.
Oh, yes. So if you go to smokeybrights.com, you can get the full tour lineup.
Right on. Well, you heard it here first, WRSU, the Smokey Brights. Thanks again for, you know, talking. You know, please keep up the great work. We're loving your music.
Thanks, John. We really, really appreciate the support, and we'll keep doing it if you guys do.
Talk to you soon, all. All right? Take care.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you, too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.